Can we start?
I'm ready.
Can you come, please?
I didn't see your outfit.
Just sit down.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Ta-da!
Oh my God.
Why are you not dressed like
what
this?
What are you wearing today?
I thought this was the love.
What are you wearing?
I came ready to go to work.
In a bathrobe? You came to work in a bathrobe.
Witred! Perfect. That's it. We have the intro song.
Sure.
Done.
For Camera all of those in. Of you who are listening to this podcast,
why are you
let
not
me
in a bathrobe?
Let me just paint the picture for you. I sit down, I get everything organized, I am calling and calling. Please, let's go. We need to record today. And my co-host just walked in a bathrobe. Is there anything under this?
Hey! What? What are you doing? I need a moment to get my wits about myself because I've been bamboozled once again by you.
What did I do
you
now?
You gave wrong messaging to
about
me.
About
what? What we were doing today.
I just told you we were recording our love
you
story.
You said... Okay. Never mind. You're distracted by my outfit.
Are you ready now?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm more ready than you. Look at my outfit. I'm ready in 0.3 seconds.
I don't know what you think you're getting ready for.
I'm ready for anything.
But we're on a podcast.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. This is Sheena Malwani, and we're here with another episode of Sheena Interrupted.
Hello. I am the host of this show.
Co-host. Don't
this
take
is your
my
co-host.
Job.
Co-host. And...
Who are you today?
I'm going to remain the crowd favorite.
Which is?
Trident Mouth Malwani.
Oh, God.
So many people have enjoyed Trident.
Really?
I'm sticking with Trident.
All right.
People enjoy Trident.
Okay, I'm just going to go with it because we have a big show today.
Today is a massive, massive show.
Yes. This is the one that everybody's been waiting for.
I'm excited. I will let you enjoy this show. You've been waiting for this episode for a long time.
I have. So have all of our listeners.
I have purposefully been avoiding this episode, but I want to explain why.
Okay.
And I want to seriously thank everyone for their patience.
Yes.
Because this is the most important story we have to tell. It is the baseline of everything else we do.
Yes.
And I didn't want to get lost in technical glitches, audio glitches, volume upload glitches, editing glitches.
Which by now, hopefully we've worked through all of the major kinks.
Yes. And we hit all of the major kinks.
We did.
Along the way.
Yeah. With some very, very angry viewers.
Yeah.
I've gotten
that's
some
okay.
really nasty comments.
You don't know what you're doing. You bloody wasted my time. Hope you burn. Okay. That's
we
a little aggressive.
Yes.
Just hit pause.
We worked through a lot of that. This was always part of our plan. It just took a minute for us to get here. But we promised that we would do it all in real time
you
with all of
you. Fought with
you.
Me every week for not recording this episode, yes. And you're saying this was all part of your plan?
No, I'm
your plan was to record this the first day in the closet.
It was not. No,
you're like,
it was
oh, we're
not.
In a closet. Let's record this. We've never done this before. But I agree.
It's time.
We're not trying to avoid. And by now, they've also heard your origin story episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are working towards a plan.
Yes.
But this story is a good story.
It is. You know,
so
I saw a video.
I
saw a video this week and I was smiling to myself because I think it's so sweet. I heard, and you could tell me if this is true. I heard that men love to hear their significant others tell the story of how they met because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel like, oh, that's what she liked about me.
Is that true?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I'll hear it.
And you've
and
heard
I'll
this
you,
so many times.
I haven't heard it in this medium.
You have not.
And last time you told the origin story, you added some new things, you left out some things. So there's certain elements that
that's
I
called
think
real
about.
Life.
Yeah. There's
that's,
things you value.
Yes.
And that I don't really appreciate. And there's things that I value that you don't really
this
appreciate. So it's good to talk about it, to hear it.
This is true.
But
okay.
This story is not
it's
like
a fun
those many
story.
Stories. It's
this
different.
Is, yes,
it's
this
not
is
like,
a very
oh, he walked
story.
Up to me in the bar and he
no.
gave me that look. Like,
no.
It's not that story.
It's not.
It's a different story. So it's not what many of you might be hoping to hear.
But it's
but
still
it's
a
pretty
cool
epic.
Story, yes. So let's jump into it. It was a dark and stormy night.
Yes. This was when I used to be a captain of a sea ship. And I saw her on the rocks sitting there, the siren. Sheena's a mermaid, actually. You guys don't know this. That's why I keep throwing water on her every 30 minutes. She doesn't laugh or sit in water. Her legs turn into fins. They are scaly.
They are scaly.
You have to give me that. So
I do need help with that department. Okay.
You're just jumping in, huh? Like, I'm nervous. I'm standing at the top of the rocks and I'm like, are we really going to jump now?
You're
just diving in.
I want to start with a little background of us and
Tell
our
them.
Cultures and
Ooh.
Our like history, right?
Tell them.
We are what you call Sindhis.
Yes.
Okay.
Like Crawford.
No.
We are models.
Not Cindy Crawford.
We are just beautiful bodied
no.
people. Renowned for decades
no,
of bringing excellence.
No, you're going down on the wrong side. Listen, oh. Sindhis, that's our community.
Yes, our
we
culture.
We are from a community of Sindhis. That's our culture. It's a very, very tight-knit community. And
because
you,
they're scattered around the globe.
Yes, you will find Sindhis in every country. You will find, and what
Have you ever
Sindhis
taken a
do,
cruise? You know when you got off the cruise and you saw an Indian trying to sell you jewelry on a port? They're Sindhi. Ever walked
we
into
do a lot of jewelry selling.
Yes.
No, but the reason that
in
I
Caribbean
say this,
islands.
The reason that I start with this is because Sindhis, wherever we go, in whatever part of the world, we try and find other Sindhis. We're a very tight knit community and we bond.
You're Sindhi?
Yes, I'm Sindhi.
Oh, yes, I remember. That's how
we
this story
bond,
started.
This is how this story started. We bond over our food, we bond over our culture, we bond over our language. There's a lot of very
our gambling,
our love of gambling. Okay, so this is important, and you'll hear why in a little while.
Oh, my turn now. Should I tell the next part?
No, it's my
you
turn.
You told the best part.
No, it's my
about
turn
about the gambling and the jewelry.
No, this is my story.
Okay, I will tell one part.
Which one part?
The telephone part.
No, I want
no,
to tell
no.
the part.
I'll tell that part because
no,
you
no.
always tell that part
no.
all weird
no,
and then
no.
I get confused.
I'm going to tell the telephone part.
Okay.
So
I'm excited. Then what happened?
My family grew up in Canada, in Montreal.
You grew up in Canada, not your family.
This is true. My grandfather came to Canada.
I don't think he grew up there.
No, he didn't.
Neither did your parents.
No. My father went to school in Canada. So my grandfather moved them all. They immigrated to Canada when my dad was about, I don't know, in his college.
Just make it up. Nobody knows.
Yeah, when he was about 18. So I grew up in Canada. And
how old were you when he was 18?
I was.
Why are you laughing?
Because I was not born.
Okay, good. I'm checking. I'm making sure you're paying attention.
I'm paying attention. So your family.
What happened? Your father's still in school? My family is already showing up in the story.
My father went to school in Canada and then got married and started his family in Canada.
Okay.
Okay. And by the time I was born, they had a little community of Sindhis.
Where were you born?
I was born in Montreal.
Yeah.
So by the time I came around, there was a little community of Sindhis, 6 or 7 families. You, on the other hand, your family moved around a lot.
Yes.
You spent some
Can
time.
Can I tell that part?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we moved around a lot.
Yes.
And then we got to Montreal. Go ahead. Your part.
That's it?
Yeah. What does my family's history have to do with our love story? Nothing.
No,
we came
because
to Montreal.
Okay, but
we were vagabonds.
But
we
you
were
did
wanted
spend
in
time
17 countries you in 64 cities.
You guys moved around a lot. And the last stop before Montreal was
oh, you're going there.
Yeah.
Into my violent days.
Yeah,
okay.
They lived in Central America.
I lived in Belize. And we decided to leave when one day I came home with a big smile on my face. And I showed my parents that I had learned from my good friends who were slightly older than me in the community how to make a switchblade out of popsicle sticks and rubber bands. Because that was what I was learning on the fine streets.
That was the turning point for your mom.
That was a turning point, yes.
His mom was like, we are done.
We cannot stay here. This boy is making weapons out of popsicle sticks and rubber bands.
That's every mother's dream.
Yes, and I knew how to make a switchblade. And I was well on my way to a life of, carpentry,
and
I suppose.
And your mom was like, uh-uh, we're
no,
done with
No, my parents
this.
Said, okay, this is not appropriate. What else is available out there?
Yeah.
And to cut to the chase a little bit, because this episode isn't about how we migrated to Canada, but there was an opportunity to go to Canada.
Yeah.
And we decided to take that opportunity. But step one was for my father to go and explore the city. It ultimately became Montreal to see where you would be, what the schools would be like, where would you live, and so on and so forth. And once he was sort of established on the work front, he was like, okay, I've been here for 2 months. I need to figure out what to do more permanently.
Was he there for 2 months?
2 months. We were wrapping up the year.
Okay.
And then waiting for the summer.
Yeah.
To move, and he had to figure out
housing,
what the hell to do,
where to
in
live
a pre-internet era.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
This is
the part, this people. This is the part. So, there a commercial, put it now, because nobody would leave at this part. But this don't mess up that thing.
Just don't mess up
that part where you pretend as if there's no names in between. Just be sensible.
I'm not gonna mess anything
okay.
up. Do you guys remember what we used to do before the days of like Googling if you wanted to find
you just stand on the street and yell where's the pizza shop, what time are they open?
No, so back in the day, do you remember the yellow pages or the white pages?
Yes, white pages for
residence
personal and
yellow pages for businesses.
For those of you
who have no idea what we're talking about,
these, you know, are what like a phone booth is, people. You know those machines your parents point out for the young ones when you go to the mall? Oh, you take photos in them in London now.
Yeah.
You know those
true.
Red boxes? Those used to be how you called people before cell phones existed.
Exactly. And there were these massive books.
Because who would you call?
Exactly. You have
Where's
to open the book and you have to look for the person that you're looking for. And it was separated by last name.
Can you imagine? We used to all list our names and our home addresses in a book with our phone numbers. We used to be a much more trusting society of one another. Now we're like, hey, hide my data. I don't want them to know that I ordered pizza 4 times this week.
It's true. Okay, so basically, your dad opens up the phone book.
Yeah, what is one to do in
what
a new city?
What is one to do? He opens
open
up the
phone
book and he searches for another Melwani.
Yeah, why
because
not?
Why
hey,
not?
Must be my cousin who I don't know that lives here.
Exactly.
But let me
Let's
check.
Find another Cindy Melwani.
And he did find one.
But he was not fully.
He called him.
Jose Melwani.
Yeah, don't. So now you guys are getting a little bit of a flavor of how us Melwanis have always had an affinity for our Spanish brethren. So he finds a Melwani.
Yeah.
Calls up. But this Melwani,
he was like not
is
connected
not
to
connected
his
to the community. He himself, if I'm remembering correctly from my dad's story, was like, ah, yes, you're one of those Melwanis looking for other Melwanis.
Yeah.
I have left the tribe.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own thing here in Canada.
Yeah.
But you should, you know, try some other names.
Yeah. There
but
are some Cindys here.
There are some Cindys in town.
Yes.
But don't call me again.
Yeah. So what does he do next? He thinks of other prominent Cindy family names.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm in the M section.
Yep.
Who else do we got in the M's?
Yep. So he looked up. He looked up. He looked up. He scrolled a few pages. Scrolled.
He scrolled.
Turned,
yes.
turned a
That's
few pages.
That's how he used to do it in the day.
Turned a few pages and he finds Matani. Now, Matani is another pretty prominent Cindy name. And he says, okay, there's two Matanis here. R. Matani, S. Matani. I'm going to call R. Matani.
He calls him up.
He calls him up. There's this man that picks up the phone. He says, hello. Yes, I'm Mr. Melwani. And I just recently moved to Canada, to Montreal. And I would really like to know if you're Cindy. And if you...
How many of you would have not hung up by now? This is a scam. What does this man want? No, but this man calls and he just says to some man, R. Matani, just says, I'm moving here.
Yeah.
I'm Cindy. I would like to know where to live.
And R. Matani says, oh, yes, we are Cindys. We have a big community here. You should come.
Oh, yeah, they had a party or something.
They had a party. He says, we're having a party next week.
You
come
should
to
come.
My house.
Come meet these other people. Come
meet the whole
stranger.
Cindy community.
Stranger who's phoning me up from the phone book.
Bring all your people.
So what does my dad do?
He
doesn't know. He doesn't trust this man. He's like, wait, this man is too kind. It's like, you call this man hoping
you think
for
he
this.
Didn't trust
well,
him?
He was doing his diligence.
Yes,
he calls S. Matani next.
Yes.
The next number right under in the phone book he calls. And guess who picks up?
R. Matani.
He's like, oh. Did I just speak with you? And R. Matani says, yes, you just called me. And then my father says, oh, doesn't try to lie. He actually says, oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to call S. Matani. His number is under yours. I must have dialed your number again by mistake.
And he says, no. You dialed the right number. That phone is sitting right beside my phone because S. Matani is my brother.
And they live together. So he has two phones side by side in his house. And my dad tried to call the other phone to be like, hey, who's this R guy? Yeah. These names are at a level of prominence that you wouldn't automatically assume that the person's related. Yes. They very well could be, but yes, you definitely wouldn't expect the same person to pick up the phone because yes, him and his brother live together and their phones
are
side
like
by side.
It's not calling like John Smith.
It's close.
No, it's not. John like calling... Smith, like you can't call all the Smiths and think they all live side by side.
But you would expect them to know each other.
Yeah,
you would expect them to know each other, but not to have our Metani pick up the phone.
Yes, absolutely.
So of course now he has no other Metanis to call because he's called them all. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go to dinner to this man's house and see what happens.
Yeah.
So imagine in today's world if you did this. You would call someone, they would probably be so sus of you, they'd want to hang up on you.
No, they wouldn't even answer the phone.
But if they picked up,
yeah,
you would never get them to say where they lived and to come to dinner.
100%.
And if they did say, come to dinner, you would never go to dinner without having your will in place. Because you're like, okay, I may not come back from this dinner. What this bloody guy's inviting me for dinner?
Tell me the last time you picked up a phone call.
I don't pick up unless you're in my
exactly
phone.
Most people are like
that. That's because you didn't have robocalls. You didn't have all this before. People actually... This is also when people would go to your house, ring the doorbell.
And
you'd actually want to go see them.
Yes.
Now we all hide. We're like, oh, open the Ring camera. Let's see who that is. Why the hell is this guy here? So he went
expecting to the party.
Just have a stranger he called on the phone.
Yep.
Just tell him what to do with his life.
Yeah.
Because that's what you did back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens at the party?
So Armitani, Esmatani, they all meet him. They're introducing him to their families and this and that. And they tell him, oh, this is a nice neighborhood. This is where you could potentially live. Your kids are around the same ages as our kids, blah, blah, blah. And so he tells him, you should buy a house around here. And
so what did he do?
He's like,
three weeks after having dinner with Armitani from the phone book. What did he do?
He buys a house in the same neighborhood.
Bought a house 6 minutes away from the house that he met. Okay,
now, why
so then what
is
happens?
All of that so important?
Because it's insane
it is
for
insane.
Someone to do that.
But why is all of that so important to our story?
Why?
Because Armitani was my grandfather.
What? No.
So the first person.
So my dad.
That your dad
your
spoke
granddad
to. Yes.
From the phone book.
Yes. From the phone book. And he, that was the first person that he spoke to.
First person.
And met. Not spoke to because he spoke to Jose Melwani. But yes.
Thank but God Jose Melwani did not invite him for dinner.
But that was the first person that your dad met when he moved to Montreal. And that is the reason that he bought the house that he bought. And that he lived in the neighborhood that he lived in, and that he got to know this circle of people when he moved to Montreal. So we've known each other pretty much our entire lives. You were, what, 7 or 8?
I was, somewhere around that.
I was like 3 years
when
old.
When we moved there.
Uh-huh. And so, I mean, obviously we were not super close back then, but we have known each other our entire lives.
Yes.
And our fabrics, like the fabrics of our family, are so deeply intertwined that it's pretty poetic.
So not what you guys were expecting to hear, but you gave me, I just got chills, but in a scary way just now.
Why?
I've never thought about this before.
What?
What the hell my life would have been like if Jose Melwani actually invited my father to dinner. Jose didn't live anywhere near where I grew up or where you grew up.
No.
He lived in a completely different part of town.
Yep.
If he would have had the good sense to invite his fellow Melwani over for dinner, I would have grown up in a different part of town.
Completely different part.
So we may or
with
may not have
friends,
met.
We may or may not have. I mean, I truly believe that we would have met ultimately. But I just think that this is so special. And through the course of our lives, there have been moments in time where you've played a really, really important role. And I think vice versa, like our families.
Like the kids?
No, I think our
families. That's important.
That is important. But our families have played important roles in each other's lives and each other's growth. You and I were kids when we met.
Correct.
Right? So we have impacted our growth as humans, as adults, as individuals. We've impacted each other our entire lives. I was not allowed. Do you remember? I was not allowed to go to my
watch
prom.
Watch The Simpsons.
I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons. I still yeah. don't know why.
I don't know.
My dad thought The Simpsons it's was not appropriate. Weird. But I was not allowed to go to my prom, remember?
Yes.
And the only reason, I think you were really mad when you heard that. Because by then our families were really close friends. And you said to my dad, you're going to regret this. How can you not let her go to prom? And he said, well, the only way I'll let her go to prom is if you take her.
And I said, sure.
But we were not dating at that point.
No, you were 16.
Yep.
I was in college.
We were not dating, but he wanted to make sure that I was under.
I have a big soft spot for the underdog.
You do.
I don't like.
I was the underdog?
Well, the girl who doesn't get to go to prom is the underdog, right? Yeah. Like you're going to be sitting at home, like secretly watching The Simpsons while all your friends are at prom. Like it made no sense to me.
Yeah.
So I don't understand those things when they happen.
Yeah. So you were my prom date.
I was.
Even though we were not dating.
We were not dating, but we went to prom.
Yeah.
It was fun. I can't remember anything about your prom. Do you?
Well, okay. So the rule was I had to come home.
At like 9 p.m.?
No, I didn't have to come home.
I can't remember.
I remember
going to prom.
Yep.
And I remember we have a picture.
Yep. And you,
from your prom.
Because you were driving. So you had to drive me back. I was not allowed to go on that bus with all the prom kids.
That's
I was
right.
not allowed to go to the after party.
Yes.
But you wanted me to have a nice night. So you brought me back and we watched the sun come up.
We did?
We did.
From where?
Like from my kitchen.
Oh, at your house.
Yeah.
Oh, we came back. We stayed up the whole night?
Yeah. We stayed up all night and we watched the sunrise.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
From your kitchen had a view of the sunrise?
I think so.
I think you're making this up.
I think you
made this whole. You must have watched 2-3 rom-coms after your. You must. Have, I must have gone home. You watched 2-3 rom-coms and you've made this
Did
story.
Did you kiss me that night?
No chance. Are you disgusting? That's illegal. We didn't like no, connect didn't. Like for another 5 years or something.
Not 5 years.
Or
like
it was way
two?
Longer. I can't. I'd
I
say
was
where
16.
I was, but yeah, exactly.
It was like 2 years later.
I can't remember now.
Okay, anyways.
We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty here, folks. But
we actually don't
I
remember.
I took her to prom.
Yes, we actually don't remember a lot of the nitty-gritty because it was just so fluid, I think.
Yes.
But the point is, you
this is the opposite of what you guys are expecting.
I know.
Details? We have
we
no
have
idea.
No
we don't know when we started dating. We don't know when it transitioned from being.
Well, because I think I started liking you before it was okay for me to like you. And I think,
what do you mean before it was
like
okay?
I was really young. I was probably 17 or 18 and you were
you
much
know
older
most
than
people like people when they're like 13, right?
So
you're allowed to like people. You're allowed to have crushes.
I know, but I had a crush and I don't think you had a crush. And then when
no,
you had
when
a
you're
crush,
16, I'm not allowed to have a crush.
Exactly. But anyway, the point is
I was the chaperone.
You were the chaperone. And then ultimately, we don't remember exactly when things started to transition from you just being like a really good friend of mine to being...
To later.
Yeah, to later.
You know, when was that dance?
Which dance?
That dance where you gave me the eyes.
That was before prom.
That was before
yes,
prom?
Yes, it was before
so
prom.
So people have made a big deal about that.
Yes.
And I think you should find a way to weave this somewhere into the video version of this podcast.
But just for the record, for everybody listening, like... We were not together.
No, we were instructed.
Yes.
That's another underdog story.
It was like that Friends thing. Like, we were on a break. We
no,
were
we're not
together.
On a break. We were not together.
We were not together.
We were instructed.
We used to do these cultural community events.
Diwali. It's
Diwali.
Like our New Year.
Yep. And we used to perform there. And so one year.
Perform.
We performed.
So all these families, it was these same 8 families, we'd all get together and everyone would make their kids do a performance. To make it fun.
Yeah, and our that year, we were dancing together. And
yes.
The person that was instructing us on how to do it, they said, do not take your eyes off of each other.
Yes.
When
Meanwhile,
you do this move.
Two of our other friends are also in this dance.
Also doing the exact
same
moves.
Things, but
they focused on us.
They have found their own soulmates. They yes. are not together. They're yes. both friends. They're happy in their own lives. Yet no one makes a big deal about their eye staring.
No. Nope.
Everyone zooms into our eye staring.
Yeah. Oh
it's
my
a
God.
Good eye stare. Particularly when you slow it down, as some have done.
Yeah, and add dramatic music.
Music,
to it,
yeah.
And do it 3 times over.
Over, yeah. That 1 second gets redone. Yeah. It's like a telenovela.
So a few years.
At some point, we don't know when.
Yep. Again, the whole thing was very fluid. We started dating. And then you.
We got married.
Yeah, and then.
When had that happened?
That happened a few years later.
That year, yeah. Because we don't really know the middle part.
We don't.
Like how, when, what. we realize at some point that, oh, I remember the conversation.
What's that?
I remember when it was like starting to get a little bit more serious.
Okay.
And I told you you should go date somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Remember that convo? That was so dumb. Yeah, I can't believe you told me that.
I was very, I'm a confident person, but I think I was more confident back then.
Yeah. Imagine I went and dated somebody and then I fell in love with them.
I was so sure that wasn't possible that I didn't want to deal with the, oh, I've never dated anyone else.
But I have never dated
anybody. But that's why. I wanted you to go and be like, anytime you complain, I'd be like, well, remember that loser you dated for 3 months? You could have been with that loser.
I never met that loser.
No. So I tried to get her to date someone else.
I didn't want to.
What's that song?
I knew what I wanted.
What is that song? Let it go and it...
I don't want no scrubs.
No. Okay, so then... Yes.
So I didn't want any scrubs. I don't want no scrubs.
So she's like, no, we're dating. And I'm like, all right, fine. You don't want to date anyone else? Then don't complain later.
Yeah.
And then we're dating for a bit.
Not exactly how it went.
Yeah, but... so a little bit more subtle. That's what I was thinking.
Sure.
I was like, damn, I won't have any loser to compare myself to later. So then my sister gets engaged and she's getting married in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And you had gone with your family on a vacation.
Yeah. And I was really nervous to come to the wedding because...
Oh, yes.
If you don't know about our Sindhi community, they talk a lot.
Or any Indian community, or any community, frankly.
There's a lot of chitter-chatter about whose business is what business, and who's doing what, and who's single, who should we set up with this person, and which family is good for that person.
You know the grandma table, right? Yeah. At every wedding. This is no different.
And so there were lots of grandma tables at this wedding, and I was really nervous to come to the wedding and have everybody... 20? I think so, yeah. Have everybody talk about the fact that I was of marriageable age.
She was very nervous about this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at that time, I had already secured a job in Boston.
Yeah.
And the idea of her in Montreal, me in Boston.
Long distance.
Running back and forth.
Yeah, it was not a good thing.
It was like, it was starting to weigh a little bit on my mind. I think more so than yours.
Well, because, I was still in college.
Yes, you were still in college. So I went to my sister and I say, I want to propose to Sheena. And she's very excited about it. But if you're going to go propose at someone's wedding, you should
get
ask.
Get permission, yes. That was a good thing that you did that.
You were in India with your family for a family vacation. And then you guys were coming to Singapore for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were nervous. And you were singing at her wedding.
I was, yep.
So I... picked you guys up from the airport.
Literally, like we landed and you
at
said,
the airport.
We have to go. We have a sound check.
Yes. I went with one of my cousins and I said to him, hey, you take her family back to the hotel. I'm going to take her. And he knew he was in on the plan.
Yeah.
And so I pick Sheena up and we go to these cable cars. Now, if you're in Singapore, if you've ever visited Singapore, you know they have these cable cars that run between Singapore and Sentosa Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be a nice place to propose.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone and I had booked a quote unquote glass bottom booth private. Like I bought the whole thing out. So we get there. I'm wearing a suit. I have this ring in my pocket.
And I am panicked because I'm like, we have to go to the
sound check. And I'm like, yeah, it's here. You got to take a cable car to go to the venue.
You took me to take me on a date? What is this? This is ridiculous.
And I have no idea what I'm saying, but she's telling me about her trip. We get in this glass booth and there's a stop. So you go from Singapore, there's a stop, then you get to this island. And I am nervous. I don't know what to say. I'm like listening.
Sweating.
I'm not listening. I'm sweating. We get to the first stop and this family of four gets into our booth. And I was like, what the hell is going on right now? These people are in my booth. This is my private booth. So now I'm just sitting there listening. We get to the other side, to the island. This family gets out. Sheena's thinking she has to get out because we're going to the sound check. And I'm like, no, we have to go. It's after this, not realizing that it loops right back where we started. And now I'm sweating. I'm like, I'm alone in this booth. I have to do this now. Otherwise, some other family is going to be sitting in my booth.
And I would just like to say that I had... no
Zero.
Idea. Like, I did not anticipate this. I don't think my nails were done. Like, I had no expectation.
Oh, this is this is before you had to coordinate a photographer and a drone and this. Like, you didn't create
there were no fancy.
This is just a true proposal.
Yeah.
So then I still remember this was one of the first times I was wearing a suit.
Ever?
Yes.
In your life?
I had bought this new suit Or for like this? A tailored suit for the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And the pockets.
And I think I was wearing like jeans and like a t-shirt.
Yeah, whatever
or
you're traveling. So guys, some of you will know what I'm talking about. This is, again, a long time ago. When you put your hand in your pocket now, sometimes you have a small pocket, like a change pocket.
Yeah.
That when you buy suits normally now, maybe still, but in Europe and Asia, I don't think they do it as much in North America, but they still have this history of this change pocket.
Mm.
I didn't have the box. I had thrown the ring in my pocket because I didn't want...
Pocket.
Yes. And the ring went into the change pocket. So when I put my hand in my pocket, I could feel the ring, but I couldn't touch the ring. And I didn't know my pant had a secret pocket in it. So I am now scratching around my leg, trying to find the hole in my pocket that the ring went into. And this is what's happening. And I'm like, I have to cut my pant. Like, what is, how do you even do this? And I'm about to give up on the whole proposal at that point.
But you're also still talking like nice.
No, you were talking about your trip. I have no clue what you said till this day about that trip.
Okay.
But I ended up thankfully finding the
secret
the ring. And then I went down on bended knee. I can't remember a word that I said at that point. I was probably mumbling, stuttering, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what was going
on. I had
no idea.
Because
you're like, I don't understand what's happening
right now.
Why
are you? Did you drop something?
Yeah, why are we? Like, we had never once talked about getting married.
No,
we had never once talked about getting engaged. It was just sort of this thing that we maybe both thought, but we never had a single conversation about it.
No, it was like, it was very... Like, we were both
20?
Very young. Yeah.
Were you 20 or 19?
I might have still been 19.
19, 20. I can't remember. So we get engaged.
Yep.
And then another family gets in.
No family got in.
No family got in at that time.
But I don't even think I said yes. Like, I was so nervous. I took the ring, but I don't
Till
today, I don't know if I've actually
you ever said
yes.
So then we get out.
Yeah.
We're engaged.
Yep.
We're excited.
Yep.
So then we get back to the hotel.
Yeah.
And I'll let you tell what happens
when
we get back to the
hotel. Well,
because
you just abandoned ship at that point.
We went to your room first. So what happens at the hotel?
I had to go and tell my parents, like, I'm engaged.
Well, we went to your parents' room.
But it seems like my dad knew because you had asked him
permission. I told your parents. Oh, yes. I should share that.
A few months before.
Months before when I got my job offer, I had a conversation with her parents. Because remember, we knew each other really well growing up. I had like played golf with her dad and stuff like that. So I had said to them, hey, this is our friendship is developing into something more. And I just wanted to tell them that. And then so we had had a conversation on and off from there. And then as we got to the point where I got my job, I had said to them, I feel good about where this is.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, if it feels right, I want to know what your reaction would be if I were to propose. Because that was always a thing. Their fear was like, hey, don't
rush.
Just don't rush. And not don't rush, but don't mess around if you don't think it would be serious. So I had said to them, I think this is serious. But we told them and they were very happy.
They were very, very happy.
And
but
then
they
we
knew
told them.
They had an idea.
Well, yes,
they knew that we were dating.
Blindsided.
They were not blindsided
my
at all.
My side of the family didn't
had
even
no
know
idea.
We were dating.
They had no idea.
Except my sister.
So he then tells me, now you have to tell my whole family. And your whole family was all together. It was the first night before the wedding. Your sister was doing her application in the room. The whole family was together. And we send my
like
parents.
50 people?
Yeah, all your of your entire family.
Only my family.
My family, my parents, and my grandfather and my brother. They went upstairs to the room. And I had to go and tell your parents.
Oh, I remember.
Hey,
we walked
the way,
in the room.
Hello.
And she's like, what do we do now? And I'm like, hey,
and
I did my part.
He said,
I'm sweating.
Did my part.
Now you go tell
I'm
them.
I'm done. You get to go tell everybody. So I walked in and I'm like holding my hand. I'm fidgeting a lot. And I go
this
and
is
I.
This is a shy Sheena
yeah,
that
was,
you guys have
I was
never
very
seen.
Shy. And I'm super nervous. And I go up to his mom and I give her a big hug. And I was like, I have to tell you something. And she's like, what? And I said, so, and I'm like, I'm twisting my hands. And I said, I'm just going to go out and show. I said, I just got engaged. And she goes, what? And I said, to your son. And so then, I mean, she's always been like my mom. She started sobbing. She literally took bangles right off of her hands at that moment and put them on me. It was one of the sweetest, most pure moments of like, welcome to my family, officially, finally. And what she kept saying was, finally, finally, finally. And my
I just remember her shouting.
Shouting?
Yeah, like.
At you?
No, just like
Oh yeah, shock. She was screaming. Yeah, yeah, she was very loud. But ultimately, I think that our families have been so close for so many years that, and everybody knew me, they had known me for so many years, that it wasn't like, oh, let's go and introduce ourselves to this girl. It was all like, finally.
Yes.
I had this big sense of like, everyone was breathing this sigh of relief. Like, finally this guy.
She's off the market.
Yeah, and finally this guy had the good sense to like lock it in. All of this to say, our families have been always very much in our corners and very much rooting for us to be
but not
together.
In your face, like,
no,
because it was so early too. Yeah. Like, I think if we had not,
we were very,
who knows,
young,
right? If this was later in life, maybe they would have been a little bit more concerned.
Yeah. Or we would have been a lot more like independent in our personalities. Yeah. And they wouldn't have felt like, I don't know, I think that the circumstances were such that we were very young, so everybody wanted this but didn't
want
to
put
too
There's
much pressure.
There's no need to say anything. Yeah. You're in school. I didn't have a job. So and that means we got engaged when you were
19 or
you
just
were still
20.
So you were in school.
Yeah.
Then we got married.
I was 19 because when we were engaged, I mean, when we were, the time that we were engaged was in my 20s. And when we got married, I turned 21 just a few days or a few months after we got married. So I was 19.
Yeah. So we got married about a year and a half after we got engaged.
Yeah.
So we got married in June. Mm-hmm. We go on a honeymoon in July. Mm-hmm. We move to Boston in August.
Yeah.
And then I start work in September.
Yeah. I think that our love story, like it has so many different parts. It has sort of a history. It has our family. It has, I mean,
that's it's not even our love story.
No,
it's weird.
It's not.
That's
so
like
when
the
I think
introduction.
Of like, exactly. And we loved each other. We were friends. We were very, very good friends. And I couldn't imagine my life without you. But I actually, when I think of falling in love with you, I think of our tiny little apartment. I think of that first night in our little apartment that had no furniture. We had this like dirty old blue carpet.
Yeah.
And we had no money, and we ordered pizza, and we sat on that empty floor of our apartment and we laughed, and it was like one of the most pure and love filled nights of my life. Like I just remember, talking about what we were going to build together, you know?
We moved because the furniture delivery store said your sofa is coming tomorrow. So we're
so
like,
we
got to be in Boston. We have
nothing
no,
in
had
our
zero.
Apartment. We had like a pillow that we brought each and like sleeping bags.
We brought sleeping bags, We moved in, got the keys to our first apartment.
Yeah.
And the first thing we got the next day
was a sofa,
which we slept on the sofa because our stuff didn't come for another like 3 days.
And people ask me all the time, like, were you, like, wasn't it super young? Weren't you super young?
Yes.
And yes, I was. And would I recommend getting married so young for other people? Maybe not necessarily, but for us, it worked. I did not necessarily know who I was. Like it firmly. We keep changing, but I think that for us it worked. And we keep changing and we keep learning about each other and we're developing kind of around each other. When we moved, we didn't have bank accounts. We didn't have, like, we set up a joint bank account.
It was cool. I mean, for us, it was cool because we didn't have independent existence. And I get it. Like, I have friends who have met later in life, and that's also has its benefits because they know who they are, they know what they're looking for. We struggled a little bit,
of course,
to figure that stuff out.
We did it together.
It's hard with work. There's no perfect solution.
No,
but for us it worked.
It worked. Our journey through our love story and our journey through our relationship is constantly morphing. It is constantly evolving. What I love about marrying somebody that young and that connected to your roots and that connected to your past is that you constantly have this reminder of who you were and who you've become. Like, when we go back to Montreal or we go back to our families, I have this constant reminder of how far we've come or how much we've grown, how much we've learned, how much we've developed, what we've built. Like, I think it's really, really cool when you're together for so long to see this beautiful existence.
Then you go open your own bank accounts.
Wow.
I never got to do that till this day. All of my stuff is owned and held by her. yet she has her own accounts. But that's a story for another day. Yes. So I guess this
we
is the earlier.
We can talk about like marriage.
Yeah, we essentially
episode.
Just got to.
Yeah.
We don't even have a bed yet.
We
in
don't
this
have
story.
A bed in this story.
But we could tell the story about how we got a bed, which was then shipped, but we had to sleep in a living room because we couldn't fit it into the bedroom. That's a good story. Could start next episode with that. We should end with this.
Yeah.
The origins of the love story. I thought we would tell it all. I thought we would tell it all in one episode, but this is like, there's so much more to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail here, but this is sort of our story, and I think that we have come.
You didn't sing anything. You didn't talk about the wedding. You didn't talk about the song you wrote.
We can talk about the wedding another day.
But the song.
Which song?
You wrote a song. You sang at your own wedding.
I didn't. It's not a song that I wrote, sweetheart.
Oh.
Remember I sang?
Yeah.
Because I'm keeping you forever and for always.
Schna.
We will be together all of our days. I want to wake up every morning to your sweet face. Always.